Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Wouldn't it be great if Scheffler just said, I'm not having this, I'm not being a party to this, I'm not playing while my opponent is getting this level of abuse.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
All right, third time is a charm. This is our third time to do this podcast today. The first two episodes were the greatest episodes of the Off the Ball NFL podcast in history. Lads, you were very good. I gave you good solid 9.5 out of 10, and you know me, normally I'm a good solid 3.5, so you've got a lot to live up to.
Do we have to stop again because of all the banging? No, we'll just keep going this time, I think. Yeah,
I think they're used
thanks,
to that.
Thanks, Ger. It's good to see you again. We obviously only did like a minute or two, so we're not repeating ourselves, but we haven't seen you since Croke Park.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
On air, anyway. We thought it was a massive success and thought, like, you know, the big thing we took out of it from on last week's show and on the show we did in Croke Park was the noise of the crowd just being significantly more than any of the games I've ever been to in London. And even watching this Sunday, it was only the Vikings and Browns, let's face it, at Tottenham. Wasn't poor or anything like that in terms of atmosphere, but it just didn't feel like the Croke Park atmosphere just felt beyond what you've experienced from international games before.
Yeah.
What I've experienced from international games.
You were in the crowd, right?
Yeah. And I can't remember who it was, said he's going to get heat for saying the crowd's actually better than they are at Heinz Field or whatever it's called now.
Missed that.
They don't actually have to say that. You know, no. you don't have to go out of your way to praise
Hayward.
People.
Like was it was a big name.
Was it? It was, like, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this. But
he's in his final year, he doesn't care.
They were the whole way through, from the start to the end. I don't know, maybe it does make a difference that the Steelers owners made such a song and dance and they've actually been coming over legitimately for a number of years to see if this was going to work.
Mm.
And then it does work and all the metrics are off the charts. I thought it was class. I thought it was like...
Yeah. Can't imagine it not becoming at least a semi-regular thing on the back of it.
Yeah, I'd say there's going to be competition now because it was so good.
Yeah.
Which bodes well for Croke Park. It bodes well for lovers of the NFL and it bodes well for the political discourse around it. But
Chiefs already have
winner,
to be
winner.
The thing I kept coming back to, and we already talked about it last week, so I don't need to go into too much detail, but the final drive, you know, before every snap, when the crowd just kept building and building, that was by far my favourite part of the whole day. Or did you have a favourite part of the day?
I nearly missed the touchdown. I went to get food.
The Metcalf one.
They stopped serving food for about 20 minutes. We were right in the queue. So anyway, I didn't bring this up at the time. Now it's okay. Just as we came back up, Metcalf catches the ball in stride, runs right towards us, and then...
You actually get a better view of it by not being in your seat?
Well, we were coming down the steps towards it, and I was like... I was very glad I hadn't missed that live, because that would have put a bit of a dampener on it. But I just thought the whole thing was great.
Yeah, agreed.
On
the political discourse, the NFL are the good guys now. They're fighting... They've got Bad Bunny playing the Super Bowl, and apparently it's a very anti-MAGA thing to do, which is not making administrative people happy. And there will be ice at the Super Bowl, apparently, to catch all the millionaire white people who are going to watch American citizen Bad Bunny play.
Is he American?
Well, he's Puerto Rican.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm pretty sure Americans don't even consider Puerto Rican.
Well, that's irrelevant as to what they consider, Keane.
Where do we want to start?
that was not the minute of the other podcast that we cancelled on, by the way.
Yeah. Where do we want to start from? That was week six. Week five? That was week five.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at the stage where...
We're heading into week six now.
Yeah. I'm kind of lost already, especially with the way this season, like, I know I probably say this every single year, but it feels like a lot of stuff is upside down to what expectations were. Like, the best teams in the league right now, like...
By record.
Yes, well, yeah, but okay. But even, like, we talked about this last week, and I kind of said it to Mick, I thought the Ravens' season was over last week, and the Ravens looked like they thought their season was over on the weekend, and yesterday they just traded away a pass rusher who had 10 sacks last year for nothing, and it's like, oh, are you guys just giving up on this year now and punting on this year? And the Chiefs, like the Chiefs, for all their struggles that they've had, you kind of thought, oh, the Jaguars at the weekend and they got off to a good start, and you think, oh, they'll sail through this game and they'll get righted because their offense looks better. And they just didn't win. And Mahomes is making mistakes you don't expect Mahomes to make. So it's like the two big AFC teams, obviously the Bills lost, but the Bills have been fine all year. The two big AFC teams aren't really what we expected. And then the NFC side, Jaden Downs has been out, obviously. The Eagles look great, but at the weekend we kind of saw their frailties again that we're constantly worried about. And the Packers haven't really lived up to the hype that we were hoping for so far, I don't think.
It is interesting in coming into a week where, like, well, I won't, not to put my Patriots hat on, but like Drake May takes a significant step forward in how people view him and his team. Trevor Lawrence beats Mahomes in a straight up primetime game on Monday night. When everybody, yeah, exactly, from the ground, when everybody is, you know, maybe had already written him off or certainly is ready to this year. And there was a sense of like, how do you be an AFC quarterback when you come into, like, they're all in the same conference. You've got Allen, you've got Mahomes, you've got Joe Burrow, and you've got Lamar. And, you know, Joe Burrow's out for the year, and I know Lamar's not playing, but when was the last time the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills would have all lost in the same week? And it just so, and you start, to see, like, what is that? What is that next level coming up? And are they all still in the AFC? And if Drake May is the guy, if Trevor Lawrence turns into who we think he is, if Daniel Jones is the greatest quarterback of all time, who knows?
And Justin Herbert didn't exactly have a great
Justin
game.
Justin Herbert
weekend.
As well, yeah.
They lost the ambition of one.
Yeah, he'd started the season really well, and now they have significant injury problems. Yeah. But like, to your point about Indiana Jones.
The best nickname in sports, to be fair to him.
The resurgence of Baker Mayfield would suggest that we don't really know anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's mad.
Yeah, and that people can improve and can do what they want. But the only thing about Mayfield was an overall number one pick. Mm-hmm. And his first year with the Browns, and maybe his second year, was raw but successful. And he got them to the playoffs, and there was a sense that Baker Mayfield was going to be the franchise quarterback of the Browns. And they got a little bit ahead of it, and he was on, like, there was a lot of complaint that he was on, like, every commercial during NFL games and everything like that.
No ads!
But hadn't really achieved anything. But, like, he was on course over 2 years of his professional career, and then it went to hell
for
a couple of years. But what he's doing now is, you wouldn't have been shocked after two. I saw him play in New Orleans in 2019, 2018, one of those years. And, like, he came in the end of that season, and then the following year, you wouldn't have been shocked in 2025 to know that he was doing what he's doing now at that time. Well, but he dropped in the meantime.
Well, there was a maturity thing with him very clearly, because when he came in, everyone loved what he did at Oklahoma, but it was hugely immature, like all the celebrations in the center of the field, all the challenging guys after games, the way he acted was like problematic. And
did you see him in the pre-match huddle this week calling out a guy in the crowd?
I don't think
he's matured at all.
No, well, I think he has, but that's where the bar was starting, because like, even when in Cleveland, one of the things that got him in trouble was Duke Johnson, the running back there, was having issues with the franchise, and Baker kind of publicly went out and said, no, he should stop complaining about his contract and come and play. And that's like a golden rule of players. You do not get involved in other people's money and other people's negotiations. And that was kind of the signal of the start of the end for him, even beyond the play on the field. But the one thing with him, and like you're mentioning like how good he was and how talented he is, you always looked at him and went, okay, you should be better than you are. And now he's coming into these games with the Bucs, and he's getting better the bigger the moment is.
Yeah.
Like in the fourth quarter now, suddenly he's the superstar player, even if he hasn't played that well prior to it. But the biggest thing, I think, from the last week, Mike Evans wasn't there. He was not just throwing the ball up and letting Mike Evans go and get it. Or he wasn't relying on
Mike Evans, though.
Yeah, but still, like, Mike Evans is one of these.
And he'll be back in 3 or 4 weeks.
Maybe. Yeah, and then he probably won't have his 1,000-yard year this year. Like, he's going to continue that record. But he has that ability
to be
an
impact either. Irving, you know, like that was who's been like a star for the last year and a half. So he is just doing it no matter what, isn't he? Like it's not just the people around him at the moment.
And like, that division, like they can run away with that division fairly easily if they keep going on this way, because everyone else there is a bit of a mess.
I think it is interesting though that like various people like him, like Lawrence, can have a bit of a comeback from what was a slump. Like Lawrence, let's face it, was they were going to stick with him, I think, because of the sunk cost and also the money they were paying him. So it was unlikely he was going to get canned totally. But he was in Last Chance Saloon. I'm not saying he's recovered either.
Yeah, we should talk about that game, to be fair.
You know,
but he's starting. He's sorry. Well, I agree. I don't think we're at that point with Lawrence yet, but we're at the point where there's a few signs there that at least the team are starting to win games and perform, and maybe there's a chance there for Trevor Lawrence to be who he's supposed to be. And like,
which was a generational player.
The guy, it was like, remember like when the Jets like won the last game of the season and they were like the stupidest idiots of all time because they gave up on Trevor Lawrence.
That sounds like the Jets, by the way.
They are the stupidest idiots of all time.
Some of the Jets.
It didn't feel after a couple of years like it was because of the Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Well, put Trevor Lawrence in proper context. We have a generational quarterback prospect coming out pretty much every second year, because they always say that.
Yeah.
But this guy was beyond that. He was coming out of high school. He was at Clemson. He won everything over and over again at Clemson. Now, he had a lot of flaws at Clemson, but you kind of brushed him over. And he was like, this is the best since Andrew Luck. And it was like, he's better than the other guy we said was the best since Andrew Luck. So we did not. Like, this is not one who was overhyped. This was the expectation was through the roof. The one thing with him is, I feel like he's been in teams and been with coaches who have gone, you're a generational quarterback prospect. That means you need to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball perfectly all over the field, because that's what we expect generational quarterback prospects to do. When really, he's just this really athletic quarterback and a guy who needs to take advantage of that. And that's kind of what the difference was for me. Not necessarily all this year, but last weekend against the Chiefs. He's previously run the ball because he's been panicking, he's been under pressure, and he doesn't really know, he can't really see things. Now he's running the ball because it's like, oh, this is the best thing to do right now. There's space in front of me.
There's a plan.
I'm going to break tackles. I'm going to run away from guys. Now, they did start off the game with him running across the line of scrimmage and throwing the ball downfield. So everything isn't exactly going as planned so
can
far.
I just also say, for example, he'd been touched while he was on the ground and fallen behind the line of scrimmage when he was untouched.
He'd have been a goat today.
Absolutely.
Which would be unfair too, because that's not actually the quarterback's fault. The lineman stands on your foot. That happens all the time.
Did he actually stand on his foot? I'm looking at the replay there, and it looks like that's what I would be saying to my agent would be out there immediately.
Did he just slip? Feet. I kind of assumed the lineman stand on his foot, because that happens every
so
often.
He showed a lot of composure though after that as well, so it wasn't by accident that he stood. Now, I know he's not touched and there's a look to that, but he did stand up and find a guy in the end zone and won the game.
There is a great video of, you know the song, I get back down, I get back up again, you never gonna knock me down? And it's perfectly in time with him getting knocked down, him getting back up again, and then the defender hitting him and not going down.
And the fact that it's against the Chiefs, it's like, it's one of those wins.
Did you see Chris Jones on that final play? That would worry me massively. Chris Jones on that final play stands still and watches it.
Playoff Chris Jones, is that who we're talking about here?
Well, regular season Chris Jones, I suppose, now.
When you're that rich and you're that successful and you have that many rings.
And he needs to do a bit more if they want to make the playoffs at this rate.
But you see, are we falling into the usual trap?
I don't think so. They look properly bad at the moment.
Now, maybe he did get stood on, maybe.
The Chargers have both running backs. They looked insane at running back at the start of the year, and then both of them are on IR. Now, I think it looks like Hampton's only out for the 4 or 5 weeks that
still
was worth
lot.
Putting him on the IR. And then they've got terrible offensive line problems as well. Denver do look like they're, my preseason prediction about them, it didn't start off well on the board, but talking about gambling or whatever, I did bet them against Philadelphia, so I was watching that game. And it didn't feel like they should have been down the 14-3, 17-3 like they were. It was a close game all the way through. And then, over the course of 60 minutes, that evened out. And they seemed as good as the Eagles, who I don't think are in their best form at the moment. So I wouldn't read too much into it. But anyway, it's a tough division.
The Raiders
are terrible, and they weren't supposed to be. So
I'm probably there who talk the Raiders are going to be good, and Geno's just done that thing where he keeps collapsing on himself massively. It's a really bad sign. Imagine how Kenny Pickett feels, by the way, because Pete Carroll came out and was like, oh, I'm not going to take Geno out of games when it's a blowout because he needs reps. Imagine you're the backup to the guy who's starting and unquestioned starting, and they're saying he needs practice. How bad have you got to be?
Well, is it 9 interceptions already for Geno?
Yeah, he's leading the league. Actually, he was probably a great bet at the start of the year to lead the league in interceptions, because he's not going to get dropped, and he does love throwing the ball to defenders.
Is he not going to dropped, like Pete Carroll hasn't come back to watch his quarterback throw the ball again and again and again to the opposition? I mean, He's on the back nine as or teeing off on 18 as.
Yeah. I think if they trade for someone like Pete Carroll, will be an Anthony Richardson kind of place because he just run the ball all day long with him. Him and Genty running over people would actually look really good. To be honest,
it'd be
fun at least.
I have certainly heard that that has been floated. Okay, so I've completely gone against the order. Go on, yeah.
Joe Flacco is the solution for the Bengals. Apparently, does anyone think this is a good idea?
We named about six people who the Bengals could trade for. And a lot of them, I think Cousins was the only one that they would have been giving up anything to get.
Yes.
I mean, we even talked about Jameis Winston at the Giants. And I swear, I don't understand how Winston isn't a better idea than Flacco. Like, they've got a good defense. They're not going to need 40 points to win a game, to win many games, right?
So Wilson would have been
I'm getting confused now. He was on a team that had a good defense that didn't need 40 points to win a game, and he couldn't get it done, and he was dropped after a few weeks. Now he's going to a very leaky defense who Detroit scored 37 against this week and could have, in Cincinnati, and could have scored 50 if they kept trying. So I don't know if Joe Flacco's the answer, I don't know what the question is.
The other thing I don't understand with this is Flacco's like famously great at throwing to the tight end and like relying on the tight end and not really being expansive and throwing outside. And you've got those two freak receivers outside, which is why Jameis Winston made perfect sense, because at least if he throws five interceptions, he'll probably throw seven touchdowns to those two guys. So it's a typical Bengals move though. It's just the most underwhelming franchise going, and like without Burrow, they've basically given up on the season. They obviously watched it last week and they were like, oh, people will stop going to games and we need people to come to games at least. Maybe Flacco will do that. Which, in the NFL, like I know they've probably sold a lot of tickets and stuff like that, but if you watch the Ravens game at all this weekend, from like the second quarter, the stadium looked empty. Like Roger Goodell won't be happy with that at all. That's a thing that used to happen in Jacksonville. It doesn't happen across the league. This year, it looks like it's happening.
Thing is, the Bengals are a game back from the Steelers and they're a game ahead of the Ravens and the Browns. It's very early.
They won
on.
Their first two games.
Like,
they
could easily be a playoff team.
Oh, man,
like, I mean, by their record, but I don't know if you saw much of the Lions game. Now, I think the Lions are exceptional, and we'll talk about them in weeks to come, I'm sure, when they play harder teams. But what they have done in terms of losing their coordinators and Dan Campbell is such a good coach in terms of his personnel and how he gets people so up for it and playing at their absolute best. But the Bengals were terrible. And you're watching Jamar Chase and T. Higgins running around the place, you know, hoping that the ball will come to them at some point. And you're thinking, like, you've got all these, like, you've got these beautiful toppings and absolutely no vegetables. So beautiful desserts and absolutely no vegetables on your plate. Like, the rest of that team is just
They don't even have, like, in the past they would have had Joe Mixon and they could just turn around and hand the ball off to him, which is what we thought would happen with the Ravens this week, where you just rely on Derrick Henry, and that just didn't happen. So, like, they need to rely on those wide receivers in a way they didn't previously. Back when they had, was it Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Boyd and whoever else was there, and a decent offensive line.
Tight end, yeah.
When Andy Dalton was the quarterback, you could have gotten away with anyone as your backup. Now, different situation.
It was a Gesicki as their tight end, is it? Like, not a big ball catcher.
The guy who used to be very good. He fell
fine.
Off very quickly.
He's fine. He actually was doing quite well when Joe Burrow was there.
Yeah.
So,
maybe Flacco will throw him 50 balls and he'll have a good year, but they'll still not win many games.
Pick him up. I'm playing a tight end as my flex at the moment. In our league.
You have so many good tight ends.
Well, I have Jake Ferguson, who it turns out whenever Dak Prescott plays, Jake Ferguson picks up a lot of points. But I drafted Warren from the Colts. So it turns out the best thing for me to do is actually play two tight ends. That's how good they are.
By the way, it's very, very early, but Dak Prescott doing what he's doing with that offense, considering the immeasurable lack of talent on there, he's got to be thinking MVP at this stage. Like he's how they've won two games even considering who they've beaten and how they've won them is insane. Sorry to interrupt the fantasy podcast there.
No, it's fine. Dak Prescott.
There, pick up Dak Prescott.
Let's always make it about the Cowboys.
My favorite thing about the Cowboys this week was Jerry was fined $250,000 for sticking his middle finger up there. That's for their YouTube viewers. He said he was trying to do the thumbs up.
Oh, God.
And it was inadvertent. They're calling it an obscene gesture. And you know what? Did I say $250,000?
Wait, he got 250.
$250,000.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I mean, he's a billionaire, and it's like a second of the oil coming out.
It'd be like finding us 25 quid for
At the same time, I feel I should be allowed to stick my finger up and not get charged 25 quid.
If we put a swear
quid.
Jar onto this desk, actually, Jar, I think you might be...
No, can we have a jar for every time?
Kids' college fund could be gone.
Every time you bring up your fantasy team, can we have a jar for that, please?
No.
just be bankrupt.
So, you've already made it about the Patriots a little bit earlier. But
kind of, almost.
You're feeling the fact that there's a new generational QB. All generational.
There's a serious excitement in Pats Nation at the moment, and because whatever about generational, right, there was a sense from Drake May last year that this was a very good start. He came into the league, he was younger than the other four quarterbacks, I think, that were taken in the first round, six altogether, yeah, so the other five, he was the youngest of them, and he did seem to take to the NFL well, but you needed a massive year two jump here, because he didn't start at the start of last season. He actually only won one game last year, despite playing well. Now, he's won three out of the last four now, and goes into Buffalo, and it was his first signature performance in the NFL. In the first half, he didn't play that well, which I think, again, in Buffalo, up against Joe Allen, on primetime national TV, there was a lot of spotlight there. And for it to go the other way in the second half and to play his best professional football in his two seasons, as opposed to even just like getting his act together, or it going the other way, as it so could have after a bad first half.
It wasn't just
promising.
It
was massive. Yeah. Oh, no, it was massive. I mean, he was some of the throws he made in the second half were absolutely phenomenal. And his presence and awareness and his ability to get outside the pocket, and when he does, he is lethal. He is lethal on the run, especially out of the right sideline. And Stephon Diggs showed up in a big, big way, and it looks like they've got amazing chemistry, which is something that I think will be a work in progress. Now, Stephon Diggs is 31 and probably is not going to have too many prime years left. So this is something that team building will do. But what they did as well, in terms of, you have to judge Drake May, but you also have to think about Mike Vrabel and the whole new system there as well. And this is a group that seemed to be playing in a very Mike Vrabel way. The defense, like, they're playing against Allen, like, you know, and they're playing against, you know, the most dangerous quarterback in the league. And he had his moments, of course he did, but ultimately they kept him kind of shut up, and they killed James Cook in the running game. And they did it aggressively. They've got two very, very good cornerbacks, and then you have Marcus Jones, that's kind of third guy, played really, really well and got an interception. You've got that front line is just absolutely brilliant. And they, you know, Barrymore was injured last year, and he was like, him and Christian Gonzalez were basically the Patriots' only two good players.
The foundation.
On last year's roster, as well as May. And they're both there now. And then you brought in Milton Williams. Everybody said they overpaid for him, and maybe they did, but they've got loads of cap room, and he has made a huge difference. They brought in Landry, they brought in Spillane. All of them seem to be working well. And that's a really good sign. When you've been worried about the state of a franchise and the state of a structure there, and the way they had bad drafts, and the way they ended up with this worst roster in the NFL, with worst talent roster in the NFL, and then they got all their free agents right and seemingly had a pretty decent draft as well, you're like, yeah, I'll take that.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
A really notable thing for me in this game specifically was they seemed to get the game plan right as well. There was no, well, it might have been a few, but it didn't feel like the overall tone of the game. There was none of this all-out blitzing Allen or throwing loads of bodies at him constantly, which opens up opportunities for him to run. Like, whenever he tried to scramble and escape, there was a linebacker there closing the speed to him quickly, or there was a defensive end who stayed in the position he needed to stay in. So they kind of forced Allen to play from the pocket and throw into crowds, which, from the Bills' point of view, they don't have a star receiver right now. They have Keon Coleman, who's big and can make big plays every so often. They have a couple of more guys who complement well in specific roles, but they need to be set up in the right way. So if the Patriots sat back in coverage the way they did, and the front was fast enough and disciplined enough to force Allen to stay in the pocket as much as possible, it really worked out well. But for me, like you mentioned, Drake May was the story of the game, and offensively,
Is that a template though to play them again? Or
that's always been the template with the Bills, and that's why it's always confused me why teams go to this heavy blitzing. It's the defensive thing of, oh, like coordinators blitz for the sake of blitzing. The best person in history for this for me is Steve Spagnuolo, because he doesn't do it. Most defensive coordinators, when it hits 3rd and 7, they're like, oh, I can open my bag of tricks now. I can try and make loads of plays and make the big play and get all the credit when we get the turnover or force a punt. But they've got to that 3rd and 7 by playing a completely different way. And just because it's 3rd and 7, they try and take this risk. The Ravens are the other end of the scale. They're always the worst for it. They blitz even if it's never working and they just keep doing it. That's the with Allen, because you don't want to give Allen space. He can create his own space.
Yeah.
So why give him that space naturally anyway?
The game plan was containment. And if they give up some yards, they give up some yards. But they're not just letting Josh Allen dig into his bag of tricks.
Like, yeah, which is what you expect from someone who played the game like Mike Vrabel did as a linebacker, who contained opposing quarterbacks all the time and was able to hit them constantly as well. So hopefully that stays consistent. The challenge with it isn't knowing what the game plan is. It's being disciplined enough to do it again in the second game. Because if they come back in the second game in New England and they're like, oh, we beat these guys already, let's open it up and we can beat them better. If they come with that approach, that's when Allen goes, all right, I'm going to score 6 touchdowns here and you're going to lose and get blown out. But offensively, I do want to touch on, because you mentioned Diggs. Diggs is 31 and he is not as quick as he was, but he's still fairly quick. There was one play in that game where Diggs ran, I think it was like a dig route or a corner route, and he ran. He was stood in front of the cornerback behind him because he hadn't come open. And May extended the play into the flat, and Diggs was like, oh, great. Spun around, ran in behind the same cornerback and found the space great by the goal line. And it was a great throw from May, but it also really highlighted how they're a great complement for each other, because Diggs now needs a quarterback who can buy that little bit of extra time for him on occasion, and May is perfect for doing that. Now, the other thing is, it all went right. Everything went right. Defenses are going to go next week, oh, you like to go right, we're going to force you to go left, and let's see how he does that. But I think he's got the talent to do it.
It did all go right,
Hopefully, hopefully this Diggs game wasn't just a revenge game against a team he wanted to prove himself.
Maybe.
Because the game plan here should be this every week, where he's getting these 10, 11, 12 targets performing. He hasn't to this point, though.
His biggest game for Buffalo when he was there was his first game against Minnesota.
Was it?
Yeah. I saw the stats and they were actually very, very similar. So hopefully not. But to be honest, all the reports about Diggs since he's come in is almost the opposite of everything we've heard about him since he's been in the NFL. He seems like he's a real team leader.
He's mature, you know, like Baker Mayfield.
He's brought in an awful lot. He's kind of the guy in the huddle a little bit. One just thing on again, whether this is for real or not, like, we'll see, you know. And I think there'll be ups and downs over the course of the year. But they went into Buffalo and won. They've won both two road games. They're 1-2 at home and they're 2-0 on the road, both against division teams. Buffalo won 14 in a row at Orchard Park. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, this is not something that just happens on the regular, and Buffalo will end up 12-5.
The other thing about that too, though, and we talked about May a bit, and you said, oh, this is just a step in the journey or whatever you want to say. There's huge value in having an above average talent who's consistent, rather than, I need a generational quarterback. Like Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, like Drew Brees, none of these guys are looked back on as generational. But if any team in the league had one of them now, they'd be delighted.
Yeah, and I mean,
Drew Brees, really?
Drew Brees. Yeah. What do you mean, Drew Brees? Record-setting Drew Brees.
But I'm saying he was generational.
Ah, he was. He was in Miami, or not Miami, where he started off.
San Diego, but it was like that was a.
But he was like, considering even his size alone, he wouldn't be put down as generational.
Small hands, of course.
When he played with Peyton Manning and
never mentioned it.
Big arm, though.
Yeah.
It's the last play of the game that he throws to Diggs, where it looks like he's going to get sacked.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh,
that was pretty good.
And it was like, oh no, yes. One of those players where you thought everything was going wrong.
It was one of those as well that, in terms of what you're saying, Jer, about them, or whatever you said about the second game when they go back to New England and play Buffalo again, they might not win, but it was almost a perfect win as well, in that they won with a last-minute field goal. They had given up a 10-point lead. The Bills had weird turnovers and a lot of kind of like holding pain. A lot went wrong for the Bills in the game as well.
Yeah, turnover.
And what that goes like, when you watch the game, it wasn't a fluke win. Pats were probably the slightly better team over the course of the game, but they won because of circumstance. So there's a lot more to take. I was like, we are not the finished product here. I don't think they'll be getting cocky.
But we were wondering if they would be picking in the top 10.
I think they're going to look at their schedule. Look at their schedule. I don't know. I said last week, no to the playoffs. Now I think I can't see them not getting a 6 or 7.
I feel like this whole podcast throughout the year is just Mick starting off in week one being, I don't know, I don't think we've got. And gradually we get them to the point of like.
The Ravens have collapsed. The Raiders aren't what we thought they were. Houston probably aren't any good. Although they're okay the last couple of weeks.
You weren't joking about the schedule. You've got the win, or not, they've got a win of the Saints, next week.
Yeah.
You've got the Titans, you've got the Browns, you've got the Falcons, you've got the
Jets
Buccaneers.
Twice.
Difficult. Jets.
Dolphins are
Bengals,
home.
Giants. Yeah, you. Yeah,
14,
if you don't
14,
actually,
14 wins.
But how do they not?
You need to make the playoffs.
Okay, let's move on. Jaden Daniels is back.
He looked good. Looked pretty good.
Didn't know that when I made my picks.
I don't know, did you get screwed?
Yeah, I don't know if the Chargers would have won anyway, but it's funny. We talked a lot about Daniels last year, and I was a little bit scarred by CJ Stroud, who I still think is a good NFL
Very
quarterback, right?
What's on there.
But, you know, he played well this week, actually, but again, there was a lack of an opposition was an
yes.
issue. But you're a bit scarred, and you're thinking, like, I don't want to go in and believe that Jaden Daniels is all that. And then the first few weeks of the season, you know, it's a team that have ups and downs, but they obviously missed him with Mariota there. And then you see what the Commanders are this week versus what they were in the last 2 weeks. And it's like, there's no drop back with Daniels at all. Like, he's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, well, and to be honest, he's nowhere close to fully healthy because he was wearing that massive knee brace during the week. And I was kind of going, oh, you're definitely not going to be right. And he wasn't right, but he was still able to run a little bit. And the Chargers played him in such a way, similar to what we were just talking about with Josh Allen. They wanted to make sure he didn't run, and they kept him in the pocket as much as possible. And he was just throwing stupid balls. Like, it wasn't even that he had big numbers. It's that Deebo Samuel's running a crossing route, has an inch of separation, and Daniels is just dropping the ball perfectly in front of him. And he actually did that back-to-back plays at one stage, and I genuinely thought I was watching a replay of a play. I was like, what the hell's going on here? But the quality of the performance with him, the precision and what he does.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Everything about him is just ridiculous. But this game as a whole, we mentioned already Omarion Hampton going out, the Chargers running back. He was brilliant before he went out as well, which is absolutely depressing. But for all this talk about Daniels and how good he was coming back, it all hinged on Quentin Johnston's fumble, because the Chargers were 10-0 up, second quarter I think it was. They hit Quentin Johnston big down the middle of the field. He's running between two defenders, ball pops out. And that's when Washington go and score from. If that game had gone to 17-0, we'd be looking at a completely different scenario. And it's these tiny margins again in the NFL that seem to always go against teams like the Chargers. For whatever reason, things just don't work out for the Chargers.
Not to torment you or anything like that, but just to note, Deebo is definitely looking good for the Commanders. Yeah.
But there's no money to pay him, you know?
Oh, no, fair enough. I mean, people move on. I'm just, you know, he looks like he's still a NFL.
He doesn't look like he is, though, does he? He still looks like he's not right.
They're only a game back from the Eagles in the NFC East, so they're a game ahead of the Cowboys, who aren't dead. We thought we were going to be dead and aren't dead.
Yeah, the Cowboys are a fascinating one, because literally, like, you talk about them and they're the highest scoring offense in football right now, I think. But, like, outside of Dak, Javonte Williams maybe, and the tight end, there's not a whole lot there you're, like, desperately looking to take from the roster if you had the opportunity. George Pickens has kind of played to expectations. He's made mistakes, had some big plays. But even this past weekend, they were missing two of their starting offensive linemen as well. So it's not like the offensive line was doing a great job. Maybe we just have to talk and say, hey, Brian Schottenheimer was this genius hire from Jerry, even though everyone spent all offseason slating it. And maybe Jerry's just getting his aggressive signs off on the field. I don't know, they're not directed at his offense, maybe they're directed at his defense.
Who knows?
I was going to say, there is two sides of the ball that Schottenheimer is responsible for.
Well, yes.
The Panthers have a second win.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to talk about this?
It was a really fun game because Rico Dowdle, out of nowhere, speaking of former Cowboys, Rico Dowdle just turned into Adrian Peterson all of a sudden. I was watching this game live because every week I have Red Zone on and I just pick a random game and I hadn't done any of the Panthers or the Dolphins at this point. So I just said, all right, I'll watch this. And the Panthers were horrendous to start. Bryce Young was terrible. He had a terrible fumble where he fumbled himself, he strip sacked himself, and then he had a terrible interception where he threw the ball straight to a defender. And it was like, oh, we can always tell where this game is going. And Rico Dowdle was the only one on the Panthers' whole team who looked like an NFL player for the first half. And then he just reached a point where he's like, right, I'm breaking every tackle in front of me. I'm going for 50-odd yards.
23 carries for 206 yards.
And 96 of them came on two different carries, basically. One was 50, one was 40. And they were at times when the Panthers' offenses were dead and buried. And this guy has played in the league for a while, has always looked pretty good, above average backup quarterback. And all of a sudden, he's like this star, because he was only getting that many touches because their regular starter, whose name escapes me, was out
injured. Chuba Hubbard.
And like, he's pretty good too. So maybe the Panthers become this heavy running team, but does also feed back into the Dolphins are an absolute disaster.
Dolphins are a disgrace. The anyone who watched any of this game or saw it on Red Zone, the commentator was just screaming the entire way through. It was like
multiple people said it to me.
Apparently, he does the Charlotte Hornets games in the NBA. So he's a kind of a local guy, but he was like the most excitable commentator.
Does Gus Johnson do any NFL games anymore? Do you remember Gus Johnson?
No.
Oh, do you guys know?
I know the name.
So remember Chris Johnson ran like 10, 15 years ago? It was he's got getting away from the cop speed. And it was like, that's the most racist thing that's ever been said. And Gus Johnson doing it was black. So everyone was like, oh, okay, that's all right. But Gus Johnson's whole thing was he was really excitable. But every time he was doing a game, it would end like 38, 33 or 40, 35. It was just always crazy drama. I think he's in NBA.
It doesn't say where it
college
was at
football.
The moment, yeah.
He's definitely still going.
Play-by-play, lead play-by-play announcer for Fox Sports calling college football and college basketball.
Yeah, there you go.
The Cardinals versus the Titans. Now,
have you guys seen how this game went towards in the fourth quarter?
Well, I kind of was one of those games where you pay attention to the Cardinals because they're a divisional rival of the 49ers. And you're like, oh, they're going to win this week because they're playing the Titans, who are, I think, objectively the worst team. One of the worst teams we've seen in a long time.
Yeah. And they were winning easily.
And now they have a win.
They were 21-6 up, and they ran into the end zone. And
well, we have that play here. Yeah. So Bruno,
I saw that overturn,
Trump.
And then I turned it off, I have to be honest.
Well, the thing about this, like,
which one is this? The Di Mercado?
This is the first play. This is Di Mercado running in, and it's obviously short yardage, so the whole defense is pressed up. Because the Titans have done nothing to this point in the game.
This is a 70-yard run for
the Deshaun Jackson, basically. I know this is Deshaun Jackson. I think other people call it Herschel Walker or whatever it is. And the thing you see here is the Titans have the ball, even though it looks like a touchdown. I actually thought he still had control of it when he was going into the end zone.
So did I. And
yeah, I don't know if they looked at it closely enough for an overturn, I have to say. But at the same time, what are you doing?
All scoring plays are reviewed, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't score, does it not get reviewed?
No, they called it as a touchdown. That's what I mean. So
okay,
it was
they called it a touchdown,
yeah.
Right.
So, but that's obviously, to that stage of the game, the Titans have done nothing.
It must have been clear and obvious for him not to have had broken the plane under his control.
I saw, the only angle I saw wasn't exactly down the line.
Right.
And it was, and I think the whole thing was he has the ball in one hand like this, and you can see it from the ball side. So he might have had his hand here and the ball was like separated slightly rather than it clamped in. Okay. It was very, very close, which is weird because they normally don't overturn when it's that close, but
yeah.
They did.
NFL media not happy with this guy, you know.
But then the coach punches him on the sideline.
That's the thing. We have that footage too. Go to the third clip there, Ronan, if you can, rather than the second one. But the coach here, we were talking about Jerry Jones getting a $250,000 fine. This got a $100,000 fine. That's why I was kind of going, I know the owner makes more money than the head coach, but $100,000 for hitting your player. He hit him twice now. It wasn't anything crazy. I know the instant reaction is, oh, they're NFL players, they get paid to get hit and give hits. There's an element of like consent here.
I don't think that's
anyone on the sideline.
Well, because you can't hit him back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, you can't. And if he did, I'm pretty sure it'd be a lot.
If you're going to do that, just drop him and don't be a baby about it. But hitting him, I'd be amazed if they win many more games this season.
Who's that? Who's
Jonathan Gannon, the former Eagles defensive coordinator. He's been there for a while now, and it's kind of like coming into the season, there was question marks because the whole offense didn't really have its identity. And then Kyler Murray called, it doesn't really look like he's the solution, so you think they're going to change the quarterback and then they're eventually going to change the head coach. But that stuff
That's outrageous. I hadn't seen that. It was crazy.
But yeah. even in just the context of the game and what happened on the field, Bruno, if you play the second clip, this is how the Titans won this game. So Cam Ward drops back in the pocket and he can't see where he's going with the ball, and he eventually just kind of throws it up and it's tipped on the way and they get the interception. And then the player going to the ground loses the ball and they kick it into their own end zone. And then the Titans recover it. That's how the Titans have got their first win this season. And this was after the coach was hitting his lads on the sideline. So imagine how he reacted to that.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
That game was in Tennessee, was it?
No, it was in Arizona.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're...
At least they didn't all have to sit in a plane afterwards for 7 hours from...
Close confinement to each other.
Yeah. It's better that they all had the opportunity to go home to their families.
I wouldn't be surprised if Gannon was gone within the next month or so, because I don't think you can go through that and have your team not performing to the degree they need to be performing to as well, and then eventually...
It was 21-3.
I think it was 21-6 at the time of that of the fumble.
Yes, it was 21-12 at the time of the interception.
And I remember just thinking, like, this game's over. And I was hanging on for the end of the Seahawks and Bucks game, which was absolutely brilliant. And then once that kind of ended, I got to bed. But that game was wrapped up. None of this had happened yet. So I kind of could not figure out what had happened the next morning. But didn't care because it was the Titans and the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's the only reason we're talking about the Titans and the Cardinals. Why else would we be? We normally don't.
Seahawks lose that game 38-35, but no one's really talking about them. But they look good. Seahawks.
Yeah.
You lose these games, maybe it's crushing in a situation like that. And
so the story of that game was that it was an absolute shootout. The Seahawks were probably better in the second half.
Sam Darnold?
Mayfield led a game tying drive, as Keane was saying earlier, in the fourth quarter in a close game with high scoring like it is every week. He comes alive. But then Darnold goes down the other end and they're more or less in field goal range and they turn it over. Or they're not in field goal range, but they're maybe 20 yards away from the field goal range. They turn it over and then it's a straightforward kind of field goal for the Bucks to win it. So I think they'll be annoyed with how they lost it, at home especially. But yeah, they're two good teams. They're probably two defenses that need a bit of work, though, I would say.
I think I'm a bit wary of the Seahawks, though, because I don't think the offense has that much talent on it. Like, Kenneth Walker's great at running back. Sam Darnold's this inconsistent quarterback who's always going to be inconsistent. Cooper Kupp's been okay. He's not really a one anymore. He's lost that step. And they were relying heavily on Jackson Smith and Ajigba. Now, I know Darnold threw 4 touchdowns and it was a great shootout game, so you can't really complain about the offense too much.
I thought Kupp looked like a number two, which actually made him better. Like, I thought the
probably, but who's their one then is the thing. Like, I don't think he's that level, to be honest with you. I know he's put up numbers. Jackson Smith and Ajigba. But anyway, I think the concern I have with them is, like, and even if you go back through this season so far, like, they're inconsistent. Like, they lost to the 49ers in week one. They beat the Steelers, but in that game they were terrible for one half and then great in the other half. And then they beat the Saints. Obviously they destroyed the Saints, so that Saints don't really matter. And they snuck by Jonathan Gannon's Cardinals last week. So they're a team that we're trying to still figure out, I would say. The thing about them is they did trade away Geno for Darnold, and probably at this point you kind of have to say that was the right decision, and Darnold gives them
a
much
great
more
decision.
Upside.
Yeah. The Giants and Eagles are the Thursday night game this week. It's Jets, Broncos, Jags, Seahawks. We'll see which of these things is real. The Dolphins and the Chargers, Ravens and the Rams. The Ravens are toast, are they? Like,
yeah, they look terrible. No,
well, I defended them last week, and when we went through their schedule and we talked about what their division was like and how, you know, that Lamar will be back in 2 weeks or so, and after that, it's hard to come back from how bad they were last.
If Lamar comes back, it changes everything, though, doesn't it?
Oh, the defense is so beaten up. Yeah. They're missing so many defensive players. Like, Madubuike being done for the year is so big because they can't stop the run. The fact they've given Oa away, who's their main pass rusher, for nothing. The fact they've got Kyle Van Noy, who's back now. He just came back from injury, but he's not fully healthy, and he's not going to be because he's an old linebacker. Marlon Humphrey's injured. Like, there's just so much defensively that's not there that they need to be there. And you look at the Texans have struggled all year and look how easy it was for them last weekend. Now, maybe it does change around, but you're relying on a backup quarterback there who can't keep the offense moving, never mind score points, which obviously makes the defense's life harder as well then.
Which should be easy picking for the Rams. Colts, Cardinals, Panthers, Cowboys, Saints, Patriots, Steelers, Browns, Raiders, Titans, the Bucks, 49ers.
Raiders, Titans, what a stinky game.
And
could be the great fun, though. You never know.
Who are the 49ers playing?
The Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
That's a great game. Is that a late night match?
21-25.
9-25, yeah.
All right, okay. And the 49ers are flying.
The Chiefs and Lions. I hate the way it's... Google, do it. Home team first.
Yeah.
Why do you do that, Google?
Come on, Google. Cop on.
I think the biggest game of the week is on the Monday night, though. Well, one of the two. Not the Falcons-Bills.
Chiefs-Lions.
No, Commanders Bears. That's the one I'm most interested in.
Monday morning.
That's the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams.
First versus second.
Yeah, and
second
remember, was it this game last year where we had the insane Hail Mary at the end where the fan was, or sorry, the player was celebrating with the sideline while the Hail Mary play began.
Completely changed their both seasons.
Yeah, yeah. They actually literally stole that victory because the Bears had it won, didn't they?
1v2s are never normally... has there ever been a kind of a first pick versus second pick in the draft where it's actually been... like, it's always like Winston versus Mariota or something, like, isn't it?
As in, are you asking, is it, has there ever been a good game?
Not a good, that was game, a good game. Not a good game, but a relevant, like, you know, these two is like, oh, they
got the
two
best.
Was there of Andrew Luck versus RG3?
Well, the other thing is, 1 and 2 quarterbacks in the draft used to be kind of rare, as far as I know. Like, the quarterbacks weren't always going in the top 10 every single year the way they are now. Like, they used to be able to get a Ben Roethlisberger as a 22nd overall pick, or you know, whoever else.
Lamar Jackson.
Joe Flacco, 16th. Like, you don't get that anymore. Or as much, sorry.
Because the fetish for quarterbacks and the value, the upside,
and
is
the
so
rookie
high.
Wage scale and all that kind of stuff.
Just quickly, because we have to go, right? What about the 49ers? They Thursday night, so you avoided them, but that was like everyone
the return
had
of Mac Jones.
Everyone had the Rams in that game, and they hung, and Rams made all the highlights, but the Niners
back,
were
actually
still there, and
they're 4-1, so you would expect them to be able to get to the playoffs from here, and they did have one of the easier schedules at the start of the year. I think there's going to be a quarterback controversy.
Kyle Shanahan was drafting Mac Jones, number 3 in the draft, for the whole spring, and then something happened in the last minute and they went for
Trey Lance,
his biggest mistake of his career.
Who actually got some reps fill at the garbage time this week for somebody.
All right. For Chargers.
I can't even remember. Was it Chargers?
I think so, yeah. So he's in love with Mac Jones. So this could end up being
there's
an issue.
There's a lot
issue
to like with Mac Jones. Like, the only thing Mac Jones had issues in New England was he just would do the Geno thing of, like, I'm going to throw to defenders now for a while.
Confident shot, though. Now, his first season was okay.
Yeah.
And then
it was actually impressive in his first season.
He got injured last week, so...
Mac Jones did.
As we're recording this, he was got a...
Hopping around,
as we're recording this, I don't know who's going to start, whether or not it's Purdy, but Purdy was terrible the last time he played.
He was also playing injured, though, wasn't he?
Well, you know,
his
then...
turf, though.
Yeah.
Which does sound like something ridiculous. I never hear of it in any other sport, but it apparently is quite significant, especially when you're a quarterback because you've got to plant your feet to throw the ball. But who's their other quarterback option? Is Adrian Martinez?
Oh, no,
I'd be lying to you if I knew anything about him.
I think Mac Jones will play.
You'd want to. Adrian Martinez, whoever that is.
On 1 foot, if he has to. But look, they were throwing the ball to Kendrick Bourne, who wasn't on the team 3 weeks previously, you know, and he had the game of his life. So these things will happen.
Oh, I do know Adrian Martinez. Sorry, I'm in my own world over here.
Good podcasting.
And you do need these if you're going to have a good season. But like, there's no Nick Bosa. Kittle's not back yet, although he might be back this weekend. Ayuk isn't back. No timeline for his. So there's a world in which.
What's the story with Ayuk? He should surely be back by now.
I don't know. I mean,
they had him. They had him ruled out for at least 6 weeks at the start of the season.
And it was one of those, the knee was probably blown out, so it wasn't straightforward.
Not fun.
I don't know. I mean, I had no hope, really. And then they pull off something like that, and you're like, is that fool's gold?
These are kind of the best seasons in the NFL, though, when you do have no hope and you just get a slightly above average team. And
he always, always, except that one time that it was a knockout game, beats McVay.
Yeah, there you go.
And the other thing is, he's also famously like had limited quarterbacks in the past and like not had issues running an effective offense. Like Brian Hoyer was his quarterback in Cleveland for quite a while. And in Atlanta before, well, they had Matt Ryan, but before he was in Atlanta, he was somewhere else. So he's the kind of quarterback or coach you want to have when you have quarterback issues.
Isn't the NFC West mad like that? Is like the 49ers always beat the Rams, the Rams always beat the Seahawks. And,
that was a question I had for this week that I meant to
everyone
ask
beats
you.
Arizona.
You in particular, Mick, because I think you're high on both of these teams. Who would you think is more likely to go on a run and win a Super Bowl? Or who would you back more, I guess? The Rams or the Buccaneers? And the reason I ask is I feel like they're very similar teams.
I haven't seen that much of the Rams, being honest, this year. I've seen more of the Bucs. I think if Mike Evans comes back and Bucky Irving comes back and Evans is at like full pace and doesn't look old.
He's looked old for about 5 years.
I know, but I suppose so somehow manages to catch balls despite looking old. I don't know, there's a lot of weapons there. I think that offense could be incredible, and they might have to win every game 40-37, which I think does work against you if you're picking a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
But it's almost like who can go further. I don't know. I've had the Bucks down as kind of NFC Championship for a few weeks now, so I think.
Maybe
and also, I think they'll have an easy enough. I think they'll win that division quite easily. So they'll be comfortable come playoff time.
I think I was thinking about it because when you look at the Rams, they're similar. They've got Kyren Williams at running back. They've got Puka Nacua and Davante Adams at wide receiver. Stafford, who, similar to we were talking about earlier with Mayfield, gets better in the bigger moments. And then defensively, they've a lot of guys who no one ever talks about, and there's basically like a no-name defense, but they're actually quite good on that side of the ball. So I think the NFC is really, really fascinating layout right now.
Yeah, because no one is going to arrive fully fit to the playoffs, and then it's just going on a bit of a run.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Oh,
yeah. All right, good stuff. See you next week, folks.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.